UpToDate wants to know what you're talking about with family and friends. You can text UTD to 816-601-4777 to tell us. Again, 816-601-4777. This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. The New York Times is out with a devastating piece that examines the dramatic expansion of legalized sports betting across the country, aided as it was by lobbyists lavishing gifts and questionable arguments on state lawmakers. Ground zero in this story, the Kansas State House. The story centers on how accommodating lawmakers in Kansas and elsewhere were to lobbyists. One big concession involved a dramatic cut to the state share of gambling companies' sports betting revenue from 20% to just 10%. Translate that, and what you'll find is that in September and October, Kansans placed $350 million in bets. Of that, the state collected just $270,000 in taxes. Joining us now to talk about this is the lead author of the Times story, and that's reporter Eric Lipton. Eric, thanks for taking some time. Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
How can it be, you know, that Kansans could place $350 million in bets in September and October and the state only walk away with $271,000 in taxes? I mean, that just seems crazy. In simple terms, how does something like that happen?
There's a couple things that are happening, and the single biggest one of them, in fact, is that there's a small provision included in the sports betting law that was very little discussion about, but that allows the sports betting companies, like particularly FanDuel and DraftKings, to deduct what the free bets that they're giving away. So those companies gave away $43 million worth of free bets in the first 2 months of sports betting. And so all of the taxable revenue that they had, almost all of it disappeared. So the state allowed them unlimited free bets to deduct from their taxable revenue. And not only that, if you give out more free bets than you have in revenue, you can carry it forward.
Wow.
So it's sort of like, you know, if you don't use all your cell phone minutes, you can carry it forward to the next month. And so there's a certain number of states that have given this promotional free bet thing, and it has undermined the taxes. So not only did the state cut the tax rate from 20% to 10%, but it also gave the free bets. And then in addition to that, even once it starts to collect revenues, 80% of it goes into a fund for stadium, potentially for a future sports stadium in Kansas. And so it looks as if ultimately there's not going to be a great deal of money going to the general fund in Kansas.
Huh. You write in here that the bill that Kansas lawmakers ultimately passed this year to make all of this possible amounted to what you called an outrageous giveaway. What was so outrageous about it, Eric?
I mean, that was the words that we heard from a number of the lawmakers that were quite angry at what was happening, but they were, you know, in the minority. And it just was is fascinating to see the extent to which the gaming industry could call the shots. And I mean, originally in Kansas, it was going to be the state lottery that was going to run the sports betting operations, and the casinos effectively were going to be cut out, and the state lottery was going to contract with certain companies that would handle the sports betting. And that was, you know, the casinos, which, you know, operate on state property in Kansas, were quite unhappy with that. And they used their clout to push the legislators to change that, so that now the sports betting apps are operated through the casinos. Mm-hmm. And then the tax rate, you know, was 20%, which was more in line with some of the, you know, the gambling industry has argued that if you put your tax rate too high, it's going to be a disincentive to people to place bets on the legal platforms, and that they're going to stay with the offshore platforms where there is no taxes at all. But one of the things we found in reporting this is we did an analysis of all the states that have adopted mobile betting in the United States so far. And in fact, some of the states with the highest tax rates, including New York and New Hampshire, have 51% tax rates. So 51% of the net revenues goes to the state coffers. And New York State has made over $500 million in tax revenues just in the first 6 months of the year. That it the super high tax rates have not discouraged people from betting on the state-sanctioned platforms. So that fear that the lobbyists put in the minds of the state legislators in Kansas, so far at least, it's turning out not to be true. And so effectively, it just shows that the lobbyists have a bit too much clout, and they're able to, you know, dictate the terms of the legislation. And if they don't like the terms, then they can get the legislation, you know, held up for a number of years, which happened initially in Kansas, you know, or blocked entirely.
In fact, you described waves of lawmakers, waves of lobbyists coming at lawmakers throughout the last legislative session as they worked on this bill. What did you see in Topeka? How many lobbyists were involved here?
It was pretty incredible to observe. And I mean, they're all very nice people. I got to know them, and they're doing their jobs, and they do them quite well. But, you know, in the couple of week periods that I was shuttling between Jefferson City and Topeka, because I was watching the same debate going on in Missouri, and just, you know, with my rent a car driving back and forth between the capitals. And in both of the capitals, it was in the rotundas, the lobbyists were just assembled, and right in between where the House and the Senate chambers are, and they were just, you know, they were just there all day waiting for the you know, and the number of sports betting lobbyists was really pretty overwhelming relative to just about any other issue that I observed in the time that I was there. And there were quite a number of issues in the final days of the legislative sessions in both states that were being debated, but nowhere near as many lobbyists as there were around sports betting.
Wow.
And they just were. A number of them were former legislators. They had personal friendships with the lawmakers. You know, one of them was a former roommate of the Senate sponsor of the sports betting bill. They had frequently, you know, were having meals together. They knew them quite well. They were friends with them, and they respected each other, and they listened to the lobbyists who gave them advice on language. And at one point, John Barker, representative, who was the House sponsor, you know, was condemning the bill, was saying that this bill had been entirely written by the lobbyists. And then he went on to embrace the bill and become the chief sponsor of it. Hmm. I mean, the lobbyists are doing a job. They're hired to influence, and they wanted to see a low tax rate. They wanted to see the casinos operating and then, you know, aligning with sports betting apps. They wanted to have the free bets deductible. And they got those things. And then there was this, you know, towards the final weeks, they then wanted 80% of the tax revenues, whatever was collected, to go to for professional sports. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all of those things were put into the bill one after another. And then you had certain lawmakers like Paul Wagoner or Auerkamp who were on the floor and expressing outrage at how essentially they felt that the lobbyists had written this bill. Hmm. And that this was a freight train that was essentially running that they couldn't stop and that they were quite frustrated with. And they said so on the House floor in particular.
I'm visiting with New York Times reporter Eric Lipton about his piece in the Times that chronicled how sports betting became legal in Kansas. It's not legal yet in Missouri, but a push is on in that state as well. So bottom line in Kansas then, Eric, is lawmakers walked away from tens of millions of dollars in potential tax revenue for the state.
I mean, the cut from the 20% tax to a 10% tax, it's hard to understand why that was done. I mean, the lobbyists argued, again, that if you have too high of a tax rate, that right. It's going to encourage people to bet on the offshore platforms. But the data itself shows that that's not the case. So it's not a really good explanation as to why. You know, again, I guess the concern is always, well, my neighbors may offer a lower tax rate. And, you know, it's interesting in Missouri where, you know, in Jefferson City and, you know, you got your listeners are also from Missouri. The reason the bill went down in Missouri, and I was there, you know, late at night when the night that the sports betting bill got killed, is because of essentially a fratricide among the gambling industry lobbyists. Video lottery terminals, the video terminal industry, you know, representatives who were determined to get a provision inserted into the Missouri bill that would allow them to have at least 10,000 units, additional units, legal units in the state of Missouri. And when they were unable to get that because the casinos were unwilling to give them that, they sabotaged. They got their, you know, some of their allies in the legislature there to kill the
Wow.
legislation. And it was very obvious. I mean, the lobbyist for the video lottery terminal industry was writing the filibuster amendments for the state senator in Missouri to filibuster on the floor, and he
Wow.
was there laughing at how they were sabotaging this bill because they didn't get their 10,000 units. So there was another case, and we didn't end up including the Missouri stuff as much because we just decided to focus on Kansas. But you know, it was the same thing. It was just and it got killed there because of a fratricide. And so what I have seen in my experience with sports betting, and this is true for quite a number of issues that industries want to move in states, is that it's when the industries are aligned, when you have all, you know, the professional sports teams, the casinos, the sports betting apps, the Native American tribes, when they basically come up with a plan on how to execute sports betting as they want it in the states, usually it happens because they have
Wow.
enough clout to get it done. That's
Could
what happened in Kansas, and it didn't happen in Missouri this year because there was division.
Eric, could Kansas change its law in the years to come, make it more beneficial to the state and less beneficial to the industry?
I mean, yes, for without question. And the lottery in a memo that it wrote about the first 2 months of operation said it also may have power to modify the free bet giveaways. It may have administrative powers to do that. There could be a legislative change in Virginia and Colorado this year after much of their tax revenue was wiped out through these free bets and the promotional deductions. They moved this year to change the laws and to cap the amount that can be essentially tax-free you know, deductions by the gambling companies. And so the you know when I talked to John Barker about this, and I told him he lost his primary, so he's not coming back to the legislature. He was chairman of the Federal and State Committee in the House of Representatives in Kansas, and I mentioned to him that there was, you know, a total of something like $40 million worth of these free bets given out on the dime of the state, and therefore there was no taxes coming in for all that 43 point, you know, $5 million in the for just in the first 2 months. You know, he said he was unaware just how much
Right.
of promotional deduction was going to hit the taxes. And so it sort of was a bit surprising to me that the guy who was the co-sponsor of the bill wasn't kind of fully aware that this was likely to happen.
Right.
And he
Eric,
said maybe
you quote a vice president at Spectrum Gaming Group, which analyzes the gaming industry, and he told you that while states have leverage in these negotiations, they're just getting outmaneuvered. You're indicating that applied to Kansas. But I'm wondering, do states, do they have experts on their side that are helping guide them and write the kinds of bills that will be most beneficial to a state like Kansas?
I mean, again, one of the things that I observed in Kansas, there are really a lot of really nice people that, you know, smart, nice, you know, committed to their state when I met the legislators. But they're all, you know, that they all have other professions. They're paid, you know, really a tiny amount of money to serve the state, and they have tiny, you know, maybe one staff person,
Right.
and they handle an incredible array of issues, and they just don't have the capacity to really become experts. And the lobbyists walk in, and they've got all the they've got. You know, when I observed the lobbyist, the sports betting lobbyist in Missouri, he handed a whole stack of reports that he'd prepared to argue why there should be video lottery terminals in Missouri. And they are the source of information for many of these lawmakers because they are the quote experts. And I think that you know that it's hard in rural states. Where you have legislators that have second, you know, have primary jobs, and this is just a part-time thing, it's hard for them to spend enough time to come up against the lobbyists to present them with information that it's hard for them to really know, are they getting a full picture? And they don't, you know, and so Paul Wagoner, a legislator, who was trying to collect data on state tax rates, and he actually had a calculation that he was sending out to other lawmakers that showed that the per capita taxes in Kansas were going to be much lower than other states if they adopted the proposal. And he was quite frustrated that he didn't get people to listen to him, and the lobbyists seemed to have more clout than fellow lawmakers did. And
Right.
I think it's just hard when you have, you know, a part-time lawmakers without sufficient staffs to help them become the experts when the lobbyists come in with all kinds of quote free information. that is in fact, obviously colored
Right.
by their desires.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. We're talking this morning about the push to legalize sports betting in Kansas, another push going on in Missouri right now. Our guest is reporter Eric Lipton of the New York Times. If you have questions for Eric, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR Up to Date. You started this story. You've mentioned a couple of times one lawmaker in Kansas. His name is Representative John Barker. He's described in the story as a cattle breeder, a retired judge. He's chairman of one of the most powerful committees in the legislature. Why did you decide to focus on him?
John Barker and Rob Olson, and John in the House and Rob in the Senate were the
Right.
two sponsors of the bill, that sports betting bill. And so it was, it's obvious, I just essentially hung out there in the rotunda of the Capitol in Topeka and just was basically part of the lobbyist pack as they would, work their magic. And it was obvious that, Olson and Barker were the two most, along with, the House and Senate leadership, the Republican leaders, because they control both the House and the Senate, but that the bill sponsors were the ones that were in, crafting the conference committee reports and making the amendments. And so, Olson and Barker both were key targets for the lobbyists to try to, it was Olson where the lobbyists from Penn National, which is the Hollywood casino there near the Raceway, had said to him, said to Barker, this 20% tax rate is just a little bit too high. Can you bring it down a bit? And he said that in an open session in 2022. And so then, not much long later, all of a sudden the 20% is cut to 10%. And so it was also Barker. It was that put into the law of the bill, the 80% cutout for a professional sports team. And he said that that was done at the request of Republican
Right.
leadership. He didn't say exactly who it was, but it turns out it was Ron Rickman Jr., the House Speaker, that had requested that provision be inserted into it. And that essentially cut out from the general fund 80% of all the tax revenues for going back to sports, for potentially for a professional sports. So Barker and Olson were really the key intermediaries for the lobbyists because they were the ones that had the most power to amend the law. And so therefore, they were the ones that were most targeted to try to influence
Right.
them.
Eric, Deborah from Twitter writes us this. The sports betting debacle was completely predictable, she writes. Shameless exploitation of people to fund pro sports. So tired of knowing that lobbyists write the bills and bribe the legislators to gain their votes. Again, her point, this was completely predictable. You wonder why leadership in the legislature didn't better prepare lawmakers for what might be coming down the pike.
I mean, I think that most states are going to end up. There's over 30 states now that have legalized sports
betting.
I was
going to ask
you. Most
states,
will end up. There's some outliers: California, Texas, Oklahoma. That still have not. And there's a lot of pressure because you have there's a total of 31 states in D.C. that have live. That are live betting is now happening. And there's an additional five states that it's been legalized, but it's not yet operational. Ohio is about to come on in January. And Massachusetts is about to come online. Florida has legalized it, but it hasn't yet started. There's a court fight there. But I guess the point I'm going to make is that, the question is not whether or not in most states is sports betting going to happen, but it's what are the terms?
Mm-hmm.
And so how much, free bets are given out? What's the tax rate? What are, in terms of what types of funding is there for problem gambling to try to address addictions? What types of marketing? Is there any limits on where marketing is done? What type of marketing is done? And that's really where the states, for the most part, can. And I don't, the word bribe is far too strong. I didn't see anything that was illegal or truly inappropriate. I saw a lot of influence by people who were paid to influence the process and that they had expertise. And another thing is that sports betting is widely popular. It's something that both the Democrats and Republicans, for the most part in Kansas, with the exception of the Republican conservatives, the religious conservatives who have our moral grounds are against gambling. For the most part, it was broadly embraced. The question again was what terms is Kansas going to demand?
Right.
And it seems clear looking at other states that Kansas could have gotten better terms. It still has the power to come back and reevaluate those terms.
I was going to say the state can always come back and take another look, right? This session or in another couple of years to come.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it can change the terms, and particularly it can curb the amount that the incredible amount of free bets being given out, $43 million in 2 months that are deductible, that they don't have to pay taxes on. And it also creates some pretty perverse incentives for people. If you're giving them, quote, free bets with no risk, it gets you, habituated to a kind of betting on sports in a way that maybe you are or maybe you aren't capable of managing. Over the long term, once you run through your free bets.
Eric, you've mentioned addiction here, and I'm wondering what states have done to get those who get addicted to sports gambling, how they're going to help those people. Because you say in the story that even industry supporters have underestimated the waves of addiction that legalized gambling is bringing.
Well, it's sort of interesting to look at what's going on in the UK or in Australia, where they're quite a bit farther along in terms of the timing of, they've a decade in at least in terms of wide scale sports betting. And then there was just a story on the cover of the Times of London talking about, surging, cases of young people coming in for, with issues relating to addiction, sports betting addiction in particular. And it was on, that the social harm associated with this. Now, there's a lot of people who can manage sports betting and it's not an issue at all. It's just like many things that can become addictive. There's many people who can handle it. But this is the fastest expansion of legalized gambling in American history, because we're not only talking about your ability to go to a store and buy a lottery ticket or to go to a casino and make bets as an adult, which has been your power and your privilege for some time in many states in the United States. But now you've got a device in your pocket that is always there and always on that you can bet on night and day with no limits. And it really has transformed the legal ability to gamble. And I think that the social repercussions of that are only starting to become apparent.
So let's thank Eric for coming here. Up to Date is a production of KCUR 89.3. Our theme music was composed by the great Bobby Watson. The program is produced by Danny Alexander, Zach Wilson, Elizabeth Ruiz, and Reginald David. Our engineer is Paul Nakatura. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.